2,000 watt fiber laser versus rusty barge. Thing is amazing and scary, dangerous. Wow, we might have broken it already. Yeah, anyway, and this is why we sandblast.
Our mission is to save these incredible abandoned lighthouses using new technology while preserving the history and helping the environment of the Chesapeake Bay. We are the Lighthouse Centers.
Hey guys, it's Rich, and you might be asking yourself, why am I hanging off the side of a lighthouse over the Chesapeake Bay? And that's because we need to talk about restoring the caisson. So what is a caisson? The caisson at Hooper Island Lighthouse is made of a thick iron shell. It's about 30 feet in diameter down here, about 36 up there where it's kind of fluted out at the top. And then they filled the entire thing all the way down to the bay, about 12 feet below the bay floor, with solid concrete, about 5 million pounds of concrete. And that provides like a plug, a super heavy plug that holds up the lighthouse and protects it against ice flows, which used to happen when this lighthouse was built. Not so much anymore.
I shouldn't be up here.
Being a sandblaster and industrial painter, I would love it if we could just bring out our, you know, heavy duty sandblasting equipment, a big compressor and a bulk blasting pot, and really go at it. But unfortunately, we're out here over the Chesapeake Bay, and we don't want all that dust and paint chips and media and stuff flying all over into the air and, of course, into the bay. So we're not going to do that. So we're going to have to think of some creative ways to strip this down to super clean metal. We're going to do a demonstration back at the shop at Blastco, and we'll show you all the different methods that we can think of to do it, and then we're going to pick one of them and go at it. All right, first up, grinding.
Here at the Lighthouse Centers, we developed a unique system with 7 categories to grade each tool. We like to call it success. The categories are speed, operator fatigue, convenience, cost, containment, effectiveness, and safety. First up, grinding. Grinding blew a total score of 22 out of 35, with highlights in convenience and cost. The downsides are...
My hands are gripping up, my thumbs are tired. Definitely would not want to do that for 8 hours.
It's also just not that effective at getting a great finish.
You see, the finish, not very good. It's really good at getting rid of the very thick stuff, but it doesn't get into any of the pits. This surface is not ready for painting. So we'd have to go over this again with something if we expect that coating to adhere and to last. You're in danger of the disc breaking and flying off. And you can see just in that 2 square feet area, we've gone through a good portion of a 7-inch grinding disc, and most of them are 4-inch. I would say not an ideal candidate so far, but we'll see how it stacks up against the others.
With all that being said, let's move on to some needle scaling.
This is good. How many shots of espresso are in this? I think I'm getting wired already. What we have here is a needle scaler. It has a pneumatically activated chamber in there that forces all these metal rods back and forth, and then they can kind of hammer and scale the surface. I mean, as a sandblaster, I have no patience for this tool. It's extremely slow, and it doesn't really get the surface clean enough. It's good at getting the loose stuff off, and it gets into the pits a little better than the grinder does. I mean, maybe together they could do something. I think it broke already. That's weird. It's jammed. Wow, we might have broken it already. Yeah. Anyway, the tool itself is very cheap. I think it's like $50 to $100 for one of these, a cheaper one that doesn't break maybe the first time you use it. And you need an air compressor. You can get an electric one too, but typically the air compression works a little bit. Okay, now it just came on by itself. So this thing's a real piece of junk. Now I know why we sandblast. It's stuck on. And stuff got in the fitting, so now the fitting won't come release. Okay, so. All right, well, now I know why we don't do needle scaling here. Every once in a while, a customer will bring in a job and they'll have started needle scaling it and they'll ask us to finish blasting it because it takes forever and doesn't do a very nice job. And you still need an air compressor, not nearly as much as you need for sandblasting, but I say,
disqualified.
I say no. Yeah, disqualified, didn't even finish the race.
Needle scaling annoyed us to a final score of 18 out of 35, showing strengths in convenience and cost, but it's very slow. We'll definitely knock a point off safety for it literally sticking on and breaking while we were using it for about 10 minutes. Let's move on.
So here we have a product from Eastwood. Anyone who's restored cars is kind of familiar with their catalog of products. And this is like, it's called a Contour SCT. It's kind of has a paint and rust descaling pad. This is the roughest one that they make. It is like a fiberglass thing. It's not metal, but they claim it works pretty well. It's supposed to be like a paint eater, so we'll see what it does.
So the Eastwood paint eater, where do we even begin? It's slow. It doesn't work very well. It doesn't work basically at all. I mean, it's so slow, it's just completely
terrible, not even close. I had to stay on this one spot for several minutes, finally got through the layers of paint for something that's called a paint eater. It doesn't eat paint very well. First of all, it would take forever. Can you imagine doing an entire lighthouse like this? I mean, it left a really nice polished finish. Look, that's beautiful. This old barge is all polished up. Unfortunately, that is not an ideal surface for painting over. You want to have what they call a surface profile, which like sandblasting would give you. That's too smooth. Paint's not going to stick to that very well. It looks nice. Took forever. I say major fail. Worse than needle scaler. Let's see how it stacks up with the others.
Paint eating spit out a final score of 17 out of 35. Once again, being strong in convenience and cost, but honestly, it just sucks.
You said paint eater. Survey said.
This is a really cool piece of equipment. This is a portable shot blaster. So a shot blaster has a wheel that throws steel shot like little BBs against the surface and gets a really nice finish. So I've never really used a portable little shot blaster. Let's see how it works. I think I lost the steel shot.
One quick refill later.
You out?
Yeah. The problem is on rough surfaces, all the little shot BBs escape. I'm gonna kill it with the shot blaster for now. Here's the thing, brand new. These portable shot blasters are about $5,000. So I didn't want to spend $5,000. So I went on eBay and bought this one used for about $800 from Canada. And I think the seal around here is kind of worn out. And even with a good seal, on a rough surface, the little BBs are escaping and they're hammering They're hammering me. What? I mean, it does work. It leaves a nice finish. You can see, as opposed to the other things we've done so far, it does leave a blasted type finish. So it gets in all the pits and the nooks and crannies and stuff, but we're losing a lot of steel shot, which is very expensive. And it's flying all over the place. I should have a full face shield and everything. And it's a little slow and it's heavy and it is expensive, $5,000 for something that may or may not be able to do everything. We're not gonna be able to do in corners or anything with this unit. So it has a purpose. I don't know if this is it.
The Shop Blaster earned a final score of 16 out of 35. Not really showing strengths in anything, to be honest. It's pretty painful and annoying to use. Up next, lasering.
This is a 2000 watt fiber laser, an industrial laser for cleaning. They also use them for welding and cutting. You see inside here, here's your laser generator. That's your chiller. You got to keep everything cool. It's passing a fluid through the head to keep it cool. Thing is amazing and scary, dangerous. We need special laser glasses that block the wavelength of laser light so we don't damage our eyes.
This light could burn your eyeballs right out of your skull. And we certainly don't want that, now, do we?
Always a concern. And the other thing is that the laser goes a very long distance and kind of burns anything in its path. So you have to watch where it's going and what's around you. It could start a fire 50 feet away. Now, I know you guys have been waiting to see the laser, so.
Hey, you guys got a light?
Great.
And now the moment that everyone has been waiting for, 2000 watt fiber laser versus rusty barge. All right, so let's talk about the laser. Very low operator fatigue, it's actually kind of fun. The equipment is very expensive and it's kind of sensitive. We have to worry about it breaking, but it leaves a very nice finish. It gets in the pores and in the pits. So we have a surface. We might go over this just real quick, just to make sure, give it a once over, but I mean, paint will adhere to that very well. The downside, it creates a lot of heat. This is basically a torch, but the good thing is, we're doing a lighthouse that has 1/2 to 1 full inch thick iron shell. So it's not gonna heat up as much as this. This is a 1/4 inch steel plate. So it can take the heat really well. As a matter of fact, it'll stay cooler and it'll probably help blast the contaminants, the rust and the paint off, because what it does is it basically vaporizes the coating that's on top of the substrate because it goes through the less dense material and kind of gets absorbed into or bounces off the more dense material. I really like it. It uses virtually no materials. There's a little lens in here that occasionally you have to change. So it only uses electricity. What would be really cool is if we could use the electricity that we generate at the lighthouse with our solar and wind and wave-powered energy. That would be really wild. Or else we just bring a generator, use our generator out there.
The laser burned its way to a final score of 25 out of 35, showing strength in operator fatigue, containment of waste, and effectiveness, but overall performing well in all categories. Last but not least, let's move on to blasting.
Sandblasters require a lot of air. Here we have about 100 horsepower air compressor, Isuzu diesel motor, really nice, efficient unit. We really like it, but it requires a lot of diesel. Very heavy, it's over 4,000 pounds. And it makes a lot of noise. So here we have a standard sandblast machine. This is a 7 cubic foot model. You fill it up, you can blast for about an hour. It'll use about 8 bags of sand per hour. We could easily use a whole pallet of sand in a day, which is about 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. So, not the most efficient. And this is why we sandblast. That was a thing of beauty. Look at that. Clean white metal. Blasted very quickly. I could have gone even faster. Had a little too much sand coming out, but didn't have time to set it. Clearly, sandblasting is the superior method for cleaning metal. Absolutely perfect finish. We have a surface profile. Clean, gets in all the pits. This is ideal for coating. The cons, lots of equipment, operator safety equipment required, full air-fed helmet, full suit. We have a blast machine, air compressor, and lots of media, sand or a recyclable media. Either way, very heavy and lots of it. You can see why we can't just bring all this stuff out to the lighthouse and we have to find alternative methods to do it. So the major con of sandblasting is the high pressure air blows your paint and dust and everything all over the place. And that's something we can't do out on a lighthouse. We don't want any of the dust getting in the bay or anywhere else. So normally when we're in a situation where we have to contain the dust and media, we have to tent the area off and let it settle out and collect it and dispose of it properly. On a lighthouse, it's one more thing. It's really difficult to do and something we'd rather not do. The last time that the government restored Wolf Trap Lighthouse about 50 years ago, and they had a barge, and it was a jack-up barge because you can't just have a barge out there for days out in the water. A storm comes along and you could have hundreds of thousands of dollars equipment in the bottom of the bay. So they had a jack-up barge and they tented the entire Wolf Trap Lighthouse and they blasted it. And they probably spent millions of dollars even 50 years ago to do that, which we don't have. So we're gonna do it in a different creative way and we'll get it done.
Sandblasting cleaned up with a final score of 19 out of 35, being by far the fastest and most effective method, although scoring very low in containment of waste, cost, and convenience. Now let's see a little side-by-side race.
So our friend Jordan came by. He's a professional welder. He's gonna be helping us out at the lighthouse doing the welding for different things. I asked him how he would clean metal like this, and he suggested a braided wire brush. And it's funny because being sandblasters, you know, I always brag about we're experts in metal cleaning, but we only think
wait for the truck to go by.
We're experts in metal cleaning because for 30 years I've been doing We are experts in sandblasting and painting, which is the best way to clean something like this. But now that we're on a lighthouse, we have to think in different terms. So even though we're experts at metal cleaning, we are experts when the conditions are good, the jobs are right, we have all the best equipment. So we weren't even thinking in terms of cleaning with a handheld tool. So why don't you show us how you would do it?
For sure.
And you can have the honors.
I'll throw my PPE on so I don't get hurt and we will start.
That's
nothing like
good.
Sandblasting.
Yeah. You know, we've gotten down to clean metal in some areas. It would take a little while to do the whole thing.
For sure.
So normally, Jordan, you're just cleaning up to get a good surface to weld?
I'm really cleaning off the scale, so this is very scaly. I'm taking off the scale, getting into those pits, getting the scale out of the pits, and then I would probably move on to a grinder.
I mean, it did get into the pits there, but you see, it was pretty slow with the paint and
Definitely.
Stuff. Over time, you become an expert using the best stuff, but you kind of lose touch on doing jobs with limited equipment like we're gonna have out on the lighthouse. All right, so you guys can see that each tool has different advantages and disadvantages for different situations. But I think you guys know what we wanna do. We wanna bring that laser out here and start cleaning this lighthouse. All we have to do now is get that laser out here and get it up onto the lighthouse, hook it up to some pretty heavy duty power and start blasting. They all have different advantages and different advantages for different situations.
Different advantages.
Yeah, is that what I said?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to rest on the boat?
I'm good.
Well, just touch it to the boat so it goes up and down with me.
I know how to film.
Okay.
Now it's too hot.
Well, obviously, put it down lower. Put it right there if you want.
I got it.
All right, great. Different advantages. Don't let it swing back and forth. It's at a weird angle. It needs to be a little more straight towards the lighthouse.
All right.
Different advantages. And hooked up to some power so we can start cleaning this bad boy. Oh, that was so dumb. Who says bad boy? Where did that even come from? I never say bad, but I don't talk like that. Yeah, we're gonna clean this bad boy. This bad Larry. All right, we gotta reshoot that now. Different advantages.